Brings us to agenda item number 15, public hearing on the winter crab dredge fishery. Mr. Smita.
Good afternoon. I can still say good afternoon. Yes. This is a public hearing. This item was originally presented to the commission in May of this year, along with several other crab management issues or decisions that needed to be set, including the crab pot season, crab pot bushel limits, setting of the harvest season for crab gear other than pots and dredge, and also a consideration for adjustments to the blue crab sanctuary. All of those items were voted on, this item was remanded back to the Crab Management Advisory Committee. It was during that public hearing, there was a request from an individual from the public for CMAQ to have further deliberations and considerations for opening the 2015-2016 season. As I go through that, I'd like to just present a little background first. The crab dredge fishery season has remained closed since the 2008-2009 season. A decision needs to be rendered each year by the commission on whether to continue the closure of this fishery or to allow it to open. As in May, staff presented triggers, and those came about from the October 2013 commission meeting. At that time, the commission directed staff to work through NOAA's Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee, or as we refer to them as CBSAC, to establish triggers that could be used to signal an opening of the dredge season at the commission's discretion. The triggers were approved by CBSAC, and those triggers were designed to ensure spawning potential of the crab stock so that it's able to sustain additional harvest. One of the triggers looks at juvenile abundance. These are the first-year crabs that will be of legal harvest size by the time that the winter dredge fishery season would start. We know that these crabs have comprised a large proportion of the harvest for this fishery in the past. The second trigger is based on spawning age, female abundance. As it might be obvious, they are already part of the spawning potential and the spawning stock for that year and those that survive into the following season. The annual values for these triggers are used by looking at the past harvest and the abundance that comes out of the winter dredge survey. So we know by May May of this year, what the abundance estimates are for the total blue crab population for the bay. That's broken down into juvenile crabs, which are age zeros, and as well as female age one plus. Those are known as the spawning age females here. If we also look at the harvest values, to come up with a percentage of the female crabs that are removed. This is known as the exploitation fraction. In the case of the triggers, the exploitation fraction that we are looking at is an arithmetic mean or the average from those years where the exploitation rate or the removal of females was below or equal to 29% of the overall female crab population. So those are years that we look at that that are below what we see as a max removal rate or what we have as a threshold of 34%. And somewhere is near, in some of the cases, even below our target rate removal. This is an overarching management strategy that's been agreed to by all three bay jurisdictions. That's the State of Maryland, the Commonwealth of Virginia, and Potomac River Fisheries Commission. These are known as the control rules. And that exploitation rate that I mentioned for female harvest is, again, it's at a target where we're trying to get to of no more than 25.5% of the females in that population with a max threshold of 34%. That allowed us to get to annual values or annual triggers for 2015, a juvenile abundance of 291 million crabs. The juvenile abundance estimated for 2015 from the winter dredge survey was 269 million crabs. The spawning age female abundance for the trigger was 125 million spawning age female crabs. The winter dredge survey estimated that there were only 101 million. So neither of the trigger values were met, and at that May Commission meeting, as I said, when this item was discussed, staff could not recommend opening of this season since neither of these triggers were met. I'll get to the CMAQ vote. We did take this back to CMAQ for a discussion on whether or not they moved to approve such a season for this year. They met in June and did endorse a limited winter dredge fishery season to open with a 1 million pounds total allowable catch for the fishery. The motion also stated that no individual quota would exceed 900 bushels, and this would be set as a limited entry fishery based on past participation, past criteria that was actually established in 2013, and I will go through some of the criteria here within the CMAQ's motion. So they asked for a 2015-2016 crab dredge season with no more than 1 million pounds and not to exceed 25,000 bushels of crabs, and again with a maximum of 900 bushels per individual. They moved to accept the area that was also established in 2013. This area is based on the VIMS mortality discard mortality study. This area was part of a proposal in 2013 to open a limited area. This is about half of the traditional area that was allowed for the winter crab dredge fishery season. This is an area that is comprised of mostly mud bottom. It was found during the VIMS study that discard mortality was low in these areas. There was some discussion amongst CMAQ members that they would like to consider sometime in the future extending these areas to get back some of the traditional areas. However, at this time, the motion that they made in June was to accept the area that was established as a proposal in 2013. As I said, the limited entry fishery would look at only individuals that had harvest reported from the 2005, 2006, and 2006, 2007 seasons. Those are prior to the control date that was established, or had reported harvest of any amount of blue crabs from crab dredge through the reporting system in what was in the most recent 5 years of lawful crab dredge seasons. So that would be the 2003-04 through the 2007-2008 seasons. Some of the reasons that they gave for asking or for recommending approval of a 2015-2016 season, one is a long-standing issue of fairness with other harvest methods that have been allowed and have not been removed for this amount of time. They believe it would establish a year-round market for blue crabs, and they also feel that it would take off effort from the oyster industry. Such a proposal would have a conservation equivalency measures. The 1 million pounds that would be allowed or estimated harvest for this fishery would have to come from the overall harvest. What was recommended was to adjust bushel limits. CMAQ members did not support any changes to the season for the crab pot fishery. One other recommendation from CMAQ was that staff have the ability to adjust that conservation equivalency if the crab dredge harvest ended up below 1 million pounds. Before I turn this over, I think what's important for us with staff's recommendation, goes back to just the long-term conservation goals of this fishery. You know, we have an annual target abundance of 215 million spawning-age female crabs, and that cannot be forgotten. We're looking at an estimated 101 million spawning-age female crabs in 2015. That's well below the long-term average and even lower than the 2013 estimate of 147 million crabs. The 2014-2015 winter dredge survey estimated overwintering mortality of the blue crabs in the Chesapeake Bay is above average. And that overwintering mortality decreased the abundance of all size groups for this population. But really the impact was to the spawning age females with an estimated loss of approximately 25 million spawning age females due to overwintering mortality. So as in May, staff still continues to recommend current management measures be in place with some modifications for conservation of spawning potential to protect the 2015 spawning age females and also this 2016 cohort. This is a public hearing. In your packets, let's see if I can find the number here. In your packets, you have a total of 36 written public comments. 27 of those, including the Virginia Saltwater Sportsmen's Association, the Peninsula Saltwater Sports Fishermen's Association, and 16 form letters, wrote in support of keeping the fishery closed for the 2015-2016 season. Nine others wrote in, including the Norfolk Anglers Club, recommending the commission not allow this fishery ever to return. You have before you, I believe, eight more written public comments, and seven of which also recommended a continued closure of this fishery. And there is one other public comment that I'll I don't see. I will attempt to summarize one public comment that was from a commercial crabber, and she just stated that she doesn't oppose crab dredging and never supported the closure of the fishery. She was opposed to having the conservation equivalency taken from the crab pot fisheries and reducing the bushel limits. So I just wanted to summarize that since that was the only written public comment. It wasn't simply stating they support the continued closure. And with that, as I stated again, staff is recommending that amendment of Chapter 4, VAC 20, 1140, for the prohibition of crab dredge in Virginia waters to close the winter crab dredge fishery season from December 1, 2015 through March 31, 2016.
Thank you, Joe. Ms. Haney.
Question for Joe. Mm-hmm. You mentioned CMAQ did have a motion and did recommend opening a limited dredge season. I think it's important for the commission to know what that vote was exactly.
Yes, sorry. The vote was 10-1 with one abstention.
Thank you.
10 in favor.
Other questions from the commission? Thank you, Joe. It's a public hearing. Anybody in the audience wish to be heard? Oh, Mr. Close. Nope.
Well, we all know how passionate I have been about this, as I said on the commission. I have studied this a long time. Essentially, as I said on the commission, I never once talked about my gear, how much my investments, or what I did in this while I sat on the commission. But what I will say is, since 08, when they shut this fishery down, and in turn it added right back into more effort, that did not do a thing. When they cut 33 crab dredges out, and I was one of them, they added, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 more licensed in the summertime fishery. So I might need you to pull up some stuff here. As I've been through this, I looked at code section. And I guess it all depends how we want to interpret code section. And I've read the code sections of the commission before. This fishery was discriminated against, period. You want to read this code section, it's in 28-2-203. VIMS has did the study. I was a part of it. I worked side by side with them. In fact, I work side by side with them now today. We use VIMS's winter dredge survey report. But we're going to sit here and not, we're going to vote on what they said to open this fishery back up. We're going to overlook it. The study, it was a very extensive study. It was a long, hard study, if you want to know, because I can tell you, we worked long and hard on that. Triggers, not been a fan of triggers, period. You're going to sit here and let people go crab potting, peel a potting every day. The dredge fishery, probably nobody even knows, historically was the oldest form of crabbing, period. Before a crab pot, before a peel a pot, for a trot line. They learned how to crab dredge during the sailing days. I don't know if Mr. Neal and a lot of people did history on this. If it was so demanding and so devastating, I need you to pull up the results on the winter crab survey. Since 08, you know, we, no, go one more.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That's the other one. I was looking out for that. I didn't know about it. Go off here, right there. That's it. Okay. Since 08, when they cut crab dredging out, it was percentage of female crabs went down. It go down and it goes up and it continues to go down. Since crab dredging has been cut out. From 08 on right on up. So my question is, if you can't enforce bushel limits, you can't enforce pot numbers because we had, you see offenders here all the time. Where does the problem lie? It didn't lie with the crab dredges. I'm sorry to say, it's all here. These are the facts. Facts are facts. I had $30,000 worth of gear sitting at home that I've been waiting to go back to work on a trigger that they will not achieve. You because you can't enforce pusher limits and you can't enforce pot numbers. That has all been set right here. So I ask y'all today, for the last time, to reconsider this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Close. Mr. Smith.
I'm going to go back a long time, but your story isn't going to be all that long. And I want to do this because I want you all to know that I've been dumb and naive for a long time. 47 years ago, I went to a Marine recruiter and I enlisted. And I told him I didn't give a damn if he gave me a machine gun, sent me to Vietnam, and he did. That was dumb. I came home that night and told Mom and Daddy I joined the Marine Corps. Daddy called me a stupid SOB, but he didn't use that acronym, so I guess it was a point made there. Came home, and I haven't told this to but a very few people. Flew into what was Friendship Airport. And back then, you didn't come up where you go to the airport and they had this thing open for you where you walk into the terminal. You had to walk off the airplane and walk down whatever the airstrip is or whatnot. I didn't get shot at that day, but that was as hostile an environment as I ever was in, as people threw stuff at us, had signs up, yelled at us, and police lined the way up that we could get into the airport safe. I wasn't expecting a red carpet, but I was naive enough to think that somebody would care. Got a lot of distrust for the government. Had that for a long time. Refused to vote for a lot of years, and I went back and started to vote. Got in the water. I worked in the water for years because it was the one place I felt like I could go out there, be by myself, make a good living, and whatnot. Things went south in the oyster business, and all the oysters died. And anyway. So I got active in the Watermen's Association, and I was pretty outspoken, and I was elected to president of Virginia Watermen's Association. And with my being outspoken, it united the watermen. The watermen grew in numbers. I was really pretty outspoken that every time I turned around, somebody wanted to interview me for the newspaper. And I was getting out words about what I thought was wrong, what the watermen thought were wrong. I even had an employee when I got to think about the Watermen's Association, I started looking at code, statute, constitution, different things like that. And I started making it very verbal. I was so verbal that one employee of the Marine Resource Commission told me that that a file had been started on me and that if he saw my name in the paper anymore, they're going to bring the wrath of EMRC down on me. So, because I was outspoken, and this gets back to the naive part, I started being asked to be on committees. Got on committees, and when I got on committees, I said, maybe you better not talk about these people you got to work with. So I kept my mouth shut. Reporters called me, want to interview, want to know what I thought about something. I wouldn't mention it. They want to call me and talk about the things that we started with the Waterman's Heritage Tour or how we were involved in the Oyster Trail. I'd be glad to talk about that. But I wasn't going to talk negatively about VMRC management plans and whatnot. I was going to work with them. So we started doing things politically. We started doing things by what the code said to do. All of you gone over this code, you know what how the commission's supposed to prepare a fishery management plan. The overall, one of them is the greatest overall benefit to the Commonwealth. We know, the stats that VMRC gives us know that the crabs that are caught in the wintertime end up being caught in the springtime. There has been no savings there. I mean, that's a fact. But is it to the overall benefit of Virginia and to the Commonwealth that they can have $1.5 million or $2 million more coming into the coffers of Virginia, going into the watermen's pockets, that money gets spread out to the Commonwealth. Isn't that a better benefit than catching $8 crabs? You go catch the same crab. But the big thing we did was the conservation and management measure shall be based on the best scientific, economic, biological, and sociological information available. And we worked hard and worked to get that winter dredge survey done that Jimmy Dean was talking about that they participated in. I mean, we thought we were doing things the right way. Like I say, stop going after public opinion and making the things. We were going to go by the book and do things how the book said to do them. And we did that. And I was pretty proud of it. And in 2013, Mr. Tankert, you were here. You were surprised at the results that came back from that survey. That survey came back and said it was an efficient and clean fishery. And all of a sudden, triggers got thrown on it after that. Well, triggers are on no other fishery. I mean, we won't talk about discrimination. I'm not going to get into that, but you kind of feel it out. Anyway, the science says that it's there. The science in 2013, and BMRC recommended, am I right or wrong on that, recommended that it was reopened. This road, Miss Rose made a comment when she came up here a little while ago, said that the watermen know things, that they're not stupid, they don't know how to say it, they're not political, they don't know this. But the watermen in 2013 knew that there weren't going to be enough crabs. They don't need a scientific survey to tell them what's going to be here next year, the year after. You go down and find out how much wire is being sold, you'll know what they're expecting. But anyway, the watermen asked for it not to be opened because they knew the following year was not going to be a good year, and they were scared that it was going to be blamed on crab dredging. That's why it wasn't opened. Oh. Go on code here, and I'm going to stop talking. I mean, I kind of feel as though the mind's already made up on this, And again, I just feel like I've been beaten to death on this and naive, thinking that if we did things the right way that it would make a difference. I don't think it is going to make a difference. But I sat here through the offenders here and coming up here. And the Code of Virginia stayed up there the whole time. And every punishment that was dealt to those watermen today was done because of what the code said. The code says best available science. The code says no discrimination. I don't know how you want to interpret that. You know, I mean, as to how it's doing. But you drop down to number 6. It says conservation management shall take into account various variations among contingencies in fisheries. Why is it that crab dredging is going to have triggers and nothing else is going to have triggers? The greatest overall benefit to Virginia, economically, is better for Virginia for this fishery to open. Conservation measures and science. The science says it's a clean, efficient fishery. It's the only crab fishery that's had any science done on it. I don't remember how many of you stood up here. Remember the day I stood up here and I bought in 2 pieces of crab pot wire? And I showed you the regular crab pot wire and the coal ring in it and how crabs can get out of that. And I showed you the 1-inch wire and I had made my little model crab. And that didn't have any escape ring, nothing in it. And you're catching that small crab. I mean, I'm not a scientist, but I certainly think that taking those smaller crabs is more detrimental. And I mean, than a scientific survey that says it's clean and efficient. I understand that one person caught 90-some or 98 bushels of crabs one day on that survey, and when they went through the study, it wasn't but 14 cut crabs. I don't think you can do that with a crab pot, pilo pot, anything else in the crab fishing industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Mullis.
Commissioner Bull, commissioners, how are you all today? This seems like an annual event for me.
Us too, Billy.
I know, you know. So I apologize that, you know, this is how business is run. But I kind of agree with what Ken and Jimmy Dean said earlier. We've worked with VMRC and VIMS to create a management plan for the future. And sustainability is my long-term goal, okay? I'm in another fishery that's declared sustainable worldwide, and it's phenomenal. And it can be done with crabs, too. But it's not going to be done in the mode we've been in. It's not going to be done with staff here or the commission not listening to people like me that have experience fishing. I've been fishing over 40 years now, okay? I have crab potted. I have a valid crab pot license today. And I was one of the crab drudgers. We crab drudged for years. And I participated in a variety of other fisheries, including conch potting and offshore fisheries, clean up to Portland, Maine. We worked with this agency, and we did a mortality study, which I believe is probably the only one for any style of crab harvesting. It's right here. It's not my opinion. It's factual finding now. So early in this debate, some of the ideas or theories were my opinion. They're not my opinion anymore. They're all factual finding. Okay? I have a very well-versed argument about this fishery, and all of my information comes from this agency. I wrote none of it. I've read all the minutes from all the meetings back to 1995. In 1998, the commissioner was quoted here in this room talking about the measures that needed to be done to increase the crab population in this state. 10 years later, when none of those measures were done, and I'll be glad to share those with y'all, I have a very well-documented study down at work, they talked about them again in 2008. You know, we talked about them again last year, 17 years later. But we're sitting here as crab drudgers waiting for a trigger, but there's no stock rebuilding plan. And there's no visionary management here on crab population. Nobody has any vision for the future. CMAQ is managing what I call real time, a year at a time. But I want somebody to talk about what it's supposed to look like in 5 years and 10 years and how we're going to get there. We did this study. We proved the mortality is what I've always known it was. The agency claimed there was no study prior to this, but there really was. There was a study that Rob O'Reilly had his name on that was done right in Gloucester, Virginia. I had a copy of it, and I misplaced it, but I'm going to get it again. I think I know where to find it. So this wasn't the only study that's been done. There was a study prior to this. It was laying right here in the records. Then we did this pilot project to clearly spell the rules out for a very limited entry fishery with very clean-cut mechanics. So this pilot is what we talked about, and John, you'll remember, we got that approved by everybody in the room here 2 or 3 years ago. If we were to open the fishery, we somewhat agreed that this could be the basis of how to open that fishery and how to operate it. And more recently, this year, I asked a commission to go before CMAQ and represent the crab dredgers. CMAQ voted 10 to 1 no and 1 abstention to reopen this fishery under existing rules spelled out in the pilot program. It even seemed to have staff support in the CMAQ room that night, which I appreciated. I want to ask the commission, and maybe we can find it historically, what other style of harvesting has been shut down completely in the past 20 years or 50 years? I don't know of any. What other fishery in the Chesapeake Bay has been totally shut down and sacrificed? And why were those 53 watermen singled out to be the people that their sacrifice was 100%? And I've asked repeatedly, and I'm going to ask it every time, how in crab dredging did 34% reduction that the state was trying to achieve equal 100? The math is wrong. We talked about conservation equivalencies with CMAQ. I'm not trying to take anything from a crab potter. I've got a crab pot license, and I used to crab pot right out of Boat Harbor. You know, they don't want to lose bushel limits, and I don't really blame them. We didn't ask for 25,000 bushels at the CMAQ meeting. We asked for 22,500 bushels. And I see a lot of crab potters with their rigs on the beach right now. You know why? They all went oystering. You know why they went oystering? Because crabs are $16 a basket, and they said they ain't going to catch those cheap crabs this fall. They're going oystering for $40 a bushel. There's been enough crab pot gear removed from the water already. If you use your own harvest reports, you'll find out that enough crab potters have quit early. Our 22,500 bushels is left right there right now, with not one crab potter in this room sacrificing not a single crab. The 22,500 bushels that we need will go uncaught. It went uncaught last fall, and it will go uncaught this fall by the potting community in reduced effort because they're leaving this fishery and they're going into the oyster fishery. It's facts. Check it out. And, you know, today, I don't think y'all will vote to open it. I think you'll vote to keep it closed based on the triggers. But I'm going to ask you again, where did they come from? They came from a threat of us having a pilot and finding out the mortality was what we said it was all the time. We were too close to getting it open. That's where they came from. And I want to ask y'all, how come I got to wait for a trigger when there's 165 crab pots in my creek? Half of them are fished by agents that shouldn't even be fishing full time. And we have heard it repeated publicly by staff that they know they cannot control the pot limits. I've got lobster pots in New Jersey. It costs $112 to tag 800 lobster pots. Okay? It's just, I can't understand why. You know, I worked hard on this Blue Crab Management Advisory Committee that we formed for the agency, but we've been shut down too. And I guess nobody wants any vision and any help on how to rebuild a fishery. But it's pretty much common sense. If anybody wants to know how to do it, come talk to me. I can tell you how to do it. Okay? We've done it before. It's been done all over this country and all over the world in certain fisheries. You save the adult spawning biomass. It's easy. And there's ways to do it that are very effective, but it's right in front of y'all. Y'all are so close, but so far away. When I went to the CMAQ meeting in June, it was odd when it opened up. All the CMAQ committee members sat there and complained that the crab management's not working. That was their thoughts and their ideas. Lynn was there. They all complained that, hey, this isn't working. Our crab management plan isn't working. We're not gaining any ground. We've got to do something different. We've been talking about the things we need to do for 17 years now. The crab dredgers have been penalized 100% of their effort. Y'all tied up about $500,000 worth of boats, if not more, $2 or $3 million. You tied up the most expensive rigs in the Chesapeake Bay. Most of those crab dredge boats are probably worth $75,000 apiece and more, not counting the rigs. All that equipment's tied up. All the infrastructure that was vertically integrated into running that fishery is all out of business. We have no presence in the marketplace in the wintertime, and it's reflected in the value of crabs in the spring here in this state. I think it's been pretty discriminatory, and now I think it's going beyond that into punitive. I believe the crab dredgers are being punished unfairly by this state and this commission. I think it's wrong that we have agents working full-time in a crab fishery, crab potting, under somebody else's cards and licenses. That wasn't even the intention of the agent program. But we got them working full-time while we're working zero. Maybe we better cancel the agents and put the crabs back to the crab dredgers. Or maybe we shouldn't have increased crab pot licenses if the fishery was a disaster in 08. What concerns me, it must be status quo now. It's okay. There's no more crabs now than it was in 08. But I don't see anybody jumping up and down. I don't see nobody calling the feds getting $30 million to whack up between the two states to spend and not get anything out of it to save this resource. So I really want to challenge this commission to do what's right. If it's possible, if you can find it in your human body and your mind, to do what's right, not what's politically correct. I've read the code. I'm pretty good at reading. I work for about 7 or 8 law firms as a maritime liability expert, and I write opinions. I don't see anything in code that says the public or those blue letters or politics should manage this fishery. But that's where we are. So I guess if we can't get anywhere, I'm going to start my own political agenda next. So that's what it's going to be. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit fighting for this fishery. I am never going to quit. So I'm sorry I aggravate y'all, but I'm telling you right now, I'm not going away. And neither are some of my constituents. And after today's meeting, I'm sure we're going to have to get together and have another game plan, and that's coming up. And more of my crab dredgers are sitting here in this room today, and they're interested. They want to go back to work. I want to go back to work. Doesn't make any difference what else I've done and how successful I've been in the ocean. I have a right to work. That's how I got what I've got today. Nobody gave me anything. So I don't care if you want to open up the fishery for everybody in this room except me. That's fine. My goal will be accomplished. This fishery has been on the side burner long enough. It doesn't need to continue to be penalized. The crab dredgers should not continue to be punished. We shouldn't have triggers. Nobody else has a trigger. I want to ask you, where's the mortality study for peeler potting? Where is it for crab potting? Where is it for any other style of fishery harvested in this fishery? It doesn't exist. We're the only group that's done what we should do, and we're still going to get a cold shoulder and have to wait to go to work. So I'm going to make another appeal. I do appreciate y'all allowing me. I came to y'all this spring and asked y'all not to vote on this. It was on your agenda early in the year. And I said, give me one night with CMAQ to represent the crab dredgers. I went to CMAQ, and the vote, apparently I was successful representing crab dredgers with that 10 votes to reopen this fishery, one abstention and one no. Nobody can refuse those numbers. I cannot for the life of me see how you as commissioners can continue to ignore your committees. They should have some inherent value. And if those people on those committees don't think their opinions matter, I got to warn them, you're wasting your time, people, and you probably should quit because the committees are not functioning. I have seen staff make a recommendation against the committees more than once. Why do we have them? And I know what you said, Mr. Bull, that it's a recommendation, but it's a commission's vote. I agree. It's time for this commission to realize what's been done. What's being done is not necessary. There's no conservation gains. We're asking for a very small portion of these crabs to go back to work. I don't want the crab potter's crabs. I didn't come up with the bushels being sacrificed from any crab potter. But again, we sit here and cannot go back to work, and we're faced with stock triggers that are never going to happen unless somebody comes up with an aggressive stock rebuilding plan, which I see nowhere near in the future. I can't see it happening unless things move a little quicker than they've been moving around here. So for the life of me, I cannot understand why we're being penalized, and I call it punishment. Why in the world we got to continue to wait for a trigger that's not going to happen, and everybody else gets to go to work in a fishery that you're not controlling? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mullis. Anyone else? Dr. Allen?
I'm Robert Allen. I'm a recreational fisherman, and I'm a member of an organization that represents recreational fishermen called the Virginia Saltwater Sports Fishing Association. We have written a letter, which you have received, and we continue to support keeping this fishery closed. It appears from what have been heard tonight that when this fishery was closed in 2008, there was a hope for recovery, which just hasn't happened. And it looks like, from what I hear tonight, that it may never recover. We are in favor of keeping it closed. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Allen?
Directed to us, not to him.
My name's Robert Hollowell.
I've been at Crab for 30 years. I just had to sell my boat, get out of it. $400 a month for the last 8 years down at Cobb Marina, plus another few thousand to maintain the vessel. Roughly $10,000 a year you cost me. I sold the boat for 25 cents on the dollar. Sonars, radars, everything that I've put my life into, this marine resources is taken away from me. And I'm not a very happy man. Piece at a time, take it. Piece at a time. First thing you know, they beat you down to your knees. You ain't even got a pair of white boots to put on. As far as that man right there, if he would put as much emphasis in going down off Little Creek and sit on top of that sewer pipe and see what's coming out of that and try to stop that, the bottom is dead from off Little Creek clean to the Hampton Roads Tunnel, which used to be Ballad Fish and Oysters, Oyster Rock, thousands of acres of oysters under the bottom, that deep of muck.
Can we stick to the crab dredge fishery issue, please?
Getting back to it. When we were turning that bottom over, dredging crabs at Ocean View, all them shells and all them rocks were buried in silt 3 feet deep. When you turn all that stuff up out of the bottom, you had a viable sports fishing industry right there on that bar. The head boats could come out and load up with spot in 2 or 3 hours, go back to the dock, get another load of people. Since that bottom has been covered over with silt, you ask any head boat captain or anybody's fished there in a summer, you ain't caught nothing there, period. Same with the flounder fishing off Lynn Haven. Up in the bay. Anywhere where you turn them stones over and get them stones up out of the bottom where the sunlight can hit them, marine growth will grow on them. And when you've got marine growth growing on your rocks and stones and shells, you've got fish will feed on them. As long as they're under that muck, nothing will grow on it. Go home tonight, take your cinder block, put that on your grass in your front yard. You leave it 1 week and roll it over, and the grass is dead under it where the sunlight don't hit. That's what's destroying Chesapeake Bay. If we could get these people, these sport fishing industries, in line with us and get the state involved, you can go to the governor and start dredging our nurseries out. At one time, Hunger's Creek up there had 10 feet of water across it. Now you can walk across it at low tide. It's all filling in with muck. Is coming from the numbers of people. It's not coming from the fishermen. There are small, it's coming from everybody. All over the state of Virginia, it's coming out of the mountains, off the farmlands. It's covering all your marine growth over. The most productive place, Dr. whatever your name was, the most productive place for spotting croakers anywhere in this whole tidewater area is on Museum Bar where they oystered all winter. Where they turn the rocks out of the bottom, the worms, the shells, the fish can come there to feed.
Can you stick to the crab dredge fishery issue, please?
The crab dredging needs to be brought back. Okay. It will help save that bottom off Ocean View. And all the way down to Lynn Haven, that silt is gone now, clean to Cape Henry. It's nothing but muck. It's a shame. Okay. It's a pitiful shame what's happened. But it's the number of people that's doing it, not the crab dredgers.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
My name is Phil Davey. I'm a maritime lawyer in Norfolk. I'm not a waterman, but I've got a lot of friends who are. There's a saying in our society, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, for 8 years, we've been trying to fix something, and it hasn't worked. And it's time to break that plan and try something else. What I've been hearing this evening, dredging turns up the bottom and renews life. There's been talk about discrimination. As I understand it, there are basically three user groups in the crab fishery. They're potters, they're peelers, and they're dredgers. One of the reasons the crab dredgery was shut down was concern that female crabs or sponge crabs burrow deep in the winter to get away from the cold water. And if we dredge them, we're dredging up female crabs full of cushions. Well, the mortality study shows that there's not a great deal of mortality in crab dredging. One of the things that I haven't heard is that during that study, video was taken of the bottom, and the video came back over several hours later. And it wasn't a churned up mess, as you might expect with a dredge. Yes, it had been turned up, but it also, the tides managed to smooth it over. When you turn it up, you get some tidal action, and you get the renewal that Robert was talking about and that Ken Smith was talking about. Now, Jim mentioned that there was only one written comment from a commercial fisher. And that person said, I'm a crab potter. I'm not against crab dredging, but just don't take away from my crab potting. And that's part of the problem that we have right now. I'm told that if you put a moratorium on crab potting from about the middle of May to the end of June, when the crabs are spawning, you'll exceed that trigger for female survival later down the point. If a female crab has 2 million eggs and she sheds them and only 10% survive during the month of May and June, a greater number will survive. And then it won't be just one ox that gets gored. It'll be two or three oxes getting gored temporarily. What they found in the scallop industry, people screamed and yelled when the initial measures came into effect. And now the scallop fishery is blossoming. And scallop licenses are worth a lot of money. I suggest that what we've been trying for the last 7 years, since 08, is not doing the job. Go back to dredging, try something else, come up with something comprehensive so that everybody's ox gets gored temporarily, and so that there's a bigger fishery in the future. It's flatlined. You've seen it. Your own staff tells you it's flatlined. It's time to try something else. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Mr. Farrington.
Good afternoon. I'm Ty Farrington. I approached y'all last month and gave y'all my recommendation. I hope y'all took the time to review it. I'm not going to waste a lot of time up here. If there's any questions on it, I do want to make one correction on that reduction on the 500 pot license limits. If they were in the tributaries, it would be 18 bushels vessel limit reduction a day, not 28, but it still added up to 11.5 million pounds of conservation, possible conservation, especially if the crabs come back. Is there any questions on that recommendation that I gave y'all? Didn't think so. All right, I got a couple questions.
Joe, Rob,
up to date this year, what's the exportation level that you know of?
Mr. Farrington, why don't you address the commission?
I'm asking a question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you address the commission?
I would like to know the...
We'll get staff back up here after we're done with the public comment. The pertinent questions that are directed to the staff will ask.
The exportation has been 25% or less since 08, as far as I know. Okay. So I'm just curious, as of now, what is the exportation rate with the depleted amount of crab potters out there? And another question, what was the total amount of... letters against opening dredging comments that Joe said?
Yeah, I think Joe just said that.
How many was it?
It was 36.
30 something plus these.
Yeah, so it was, yeah.
And we had a few extra.
Right.
Yeah,
35 to 40?
No. Just under 50 all total, including the ones that came in.
Okay. All right. Back in 11, I presented 200 plus, if not 300, signed petitions to get this fishery open back up. Robert Hollowell had another 200 to 300 signed petitions. He accidentally fell on his face and broke his nose and ended up in the yard, didn't make it here. That's public comment. You've got them on record. I've got them right here if you want to see them again. As far as CMAX goes, it's kind of a personal matter here, Mr. Bulls, Commissioner Bulls. I was a member of CMAX, and I did my best. I went to every meeting. I gave good, what I thought was good information and recommendations. I've even had VIMS tell me that they really supported my ideas. But I was removed a full-time crabber. And what I mean by a full-time crabber is somebody who crab pots all season from the start to the end and then dredges crabs all winter. That's a year-round crabber. That's a full-time crabber. All right. I was removed. I pushed hard for dredging to be open. A dredge crab supporter and crab buyer, full-time crab buyer, David Bell, he was removed. Another full-time crabber, Johnny Maziak, who crab potted and dredged. He felt neglected when he came to the meeting because he wasn't listened to, so he quit coming to some of the meetings and he was removed. So his full-time crabbers were removed from the committee. When this option was voted on by the committee, there were no full-time crabbers, but there was one, Ken Diggs Jr., and he's a full-time crab potter. He's the one that did not vote for or against. The one that voted against was Chris Moore for the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. All the rest that voted for this option were part-time crabbers or part-time in the industry of some sort or recreational. So the people who really pushed for this, Jimmy Dean, I mean, he's got a license, but he wants to crabbing, dredging. It wasn't about the crab potting. Nobody in this room pushed for this fishery since 08 any harder than I have, year after year. So just for that to be said, I've got a few comments. First of all, the 10% reduction is economically destroying this industry, from the processors to buyers to the harvesters. We've got restrictions on us that will never compete or match what northern state of Maryland's doing or southern state of North Carolina. Talk to the crab processors, biggest ones in Maryland and North Carolina, last week. Terry Lindy, Lindy Seafood. He's got harvesters up there bringing him, per boat, per day, 75 to 80 bushels a day, crabs. And they can do it to the 15th of December. We're stuck on 39 or less. Maybe the 500 potters in the bay can keep their 47 or 48. Robert White, Frog Island, North Carolina. His crabbers are bringing in 120 to 150 bushels a day.
Mr. Farrington, let's stick to the blue crab dredge fishery, which is the issue at hand here.
I understand. I'm just saying that we are on limits that don't need to be pushed harder or reduced anymore to open up the crab dredge fishery. I am all for getting this fishery opened up. Okay? I've pushed as hard as I can. I'm a full-time crabber. I want to be anyway. But we cannot reduce these limits anymore. They need to be brought back up to compete. We need to find other ways to make the compensation and conservation for this fishery than to be limiting the resource to the harvesters and the public. And with that, I'll close.
Thank you, Mr. Farrington. Anybody else? Anybody else? Last call. Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Does anyone have questions of staff?
Yeah, I'd like to just put up the conclusions of Dr. Lipsch's study and alluded to a bunch.
Yeah, the conclusions that I have provided here were in support of the area that was proposed in 2013, and that was regarding the mud bottom especially. I guess I can just read one of the conclusions from the report that Mr. Mullis was referring to. So the percentage of damaged crabs per toe in post-trial samples on sand bottoms was 27.9% with divers and 19.7% without divers. That's a 42% increase with the divers. On mud bottoms, the percentage of damaged crabs was 4.2% with divers and 0.5% without divers. The trials also had pre and post, after all four dredge boats were through working in the area. So to distinguish the dredging impact from the standardized post-trial tows, they subtracted the pre-trial values from the post-trial values. The calculation yielded an estimated dredging impact over one day is effectively 0% on mud bottom without divers, 4.2% post-trial minus 1.6% pre-trial for 2.6% on mud bottom with divers. And then the rest would go towards the sand bottom.
Mr. Smith, I closed the public hearing. I close the public hearing. The commission is going to be questioning staff, and we'll debate amongst ourselves here. This can't be a back and forth and opening up. We had a public hearing. Mr. Pallett, I saw your hand up.
Yeah, I was just hoping to get a brief explanation from my own education, a brief about the history of why the crab dredgery was closed as opposed to other fisheries, limited. And just a brief overview of that.
Well, it was part of the reduction suite in 2008 to achieve a 34% reduction for female crab harvest or exploitation at the time.
Mr. Ballard.
So was the thought that this this fishery was more harmful to the population than the others, or it was easier to enforce, or...
Well, I mean, one of the factors that was noted at the time and up until this study, you know, were concerns for the unknown. So it wasn't just the mortality that was presented on board, but also, you know, what overboard mortality from crabs that weren't brought up was a concern at the time.
Mr. Zietler.
Two, three questions. The winter dredge, does that target, like, the females, or is it all kind of crabs?
The majority of harvest is females, because that is what's in the lower bay, the areas that they were allowed to work. So.
And during, as far as the crab potters and that type of thing, are there restrictions on when they can keep females?
Well, there's a sanctuary that you may be familiar with that covers a large portion of the bay. We now have rolling closures, and that sanctuary was established to promote a corridor to protect the spawning females that are coming down.
Well, what was this gentleman was talking about? If you close for period, like, I can't remember what he said, from May to June or whatever that window is, would that improve the spawning stock?
I can't speak to the recommendation. I'm really not sure what he was suggesting.
Well, let me ask you this question again. I mean, is there a period during the crabbing season when the fishermen cannot keep the crabs with the sponges on them?
Yes, there is a dark sponge prohibition.
And when is that?
that's the new dates.
June 15th.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it goes through, excuse me, June 15th is the end of the prohibition.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Fritz.
Since the crab dredge fishery was closed down, has there been any increase in the other fisheries for crabs?
Harvest?
No, I mean increase in gear or the amount of people in the fishery.
Since it was closed down. No, I mean, the overall license sales have been down.
We're going to be civil here, please.
You know, another observation is all these letters we received against crab dredging, and I don't think the public understands what's going on at all with crab dredging. I mean, the pilot program for crab dredging was probably one of the best and most extensive studies that's been done on crab dredging, how to do it, you know, what works best. And I think some kind of way that this, only the people in this room are probably the ones that know that, it seems like. And the public needs to know about crab dredging and how we've improved it, and we know so much more about it.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard?
Did CMAQ have a specific recommendation in terms of the the bushel limit trading, if this were to open up? And do we have a copy of that exact recommendation?
Yes. I can show it. Staff provided. So on top here we have the bushel limits as they currently stand, and this was one of four options presented to CMAQ, and I believe this was the endorsed option of you'll see that the bushel limits remain the same as the current bushel limits. Just there's a seasonal change to how long these bushel limits are in place.
Ms. Fritz.
Yes, if I can add something about this trade-off of 4 million, 250,000 bushels, is that what it is? 25,000 bushels? Well, that would be predominantly females, right? What percentage would you say would be females? 95%?
Yeah, I mean, that is right about what we had seen in the past.
So if we wanted to trade that off, would we need to trade that off for the same amount of females? I mean, if that's what we're trying to save and protect?
Yes, I mean, ultimately, and that's, you know, the exploitation rate is based on that, and overall, that's what we are managing towards. So.
Other questions from the commission? Ms. Haney.
We've got CMAQ, and staff wants, again, in opposite directions. Where does staff see what the future of the crab dredging fishery, where do they see it going?
I think there's some feeling that the trigger values are unattainable, but I don't think I could stress enough how big of an impact the winter mortality had for this year. I mean, the abundance estimates were actually going in the direction of tripping both triggers until we had a high enough bay-wide winter mortality to really reduce the overall abundance. You know, and some of the arguments that have been brought forward today as far as dredge study, that isn't where staff's concern is. You know, now that we have established or have a proposed mud bottom area that has been agreed to, what we are looking at is overall abundance and really spawning potential. I mean, that's what we've been trying to explain for a couple of years is really where this fishery needs to be managed. So, you know, this is a recruitment-driven fishery. We see a very low spawning age female a considerably low spawning age female abundance out there. And a juvenile crab abundance that really we feel needs to be protected, at least at this time, you know, to keep that spawning potential there for 2016. So, but I think that overwintering mortality had a big impact, at least for this year, on where that recommendation would go and where that we would have been with the triggers.
Mr. Zedra.
One of the gentlemen talked about how he was talking about Ocean View and that corridor there. It's gotten real muddy with silt and all that kind of stuff. Would it be productive to open those areas for that kind of dredging that would clear that water up? And, you know, from what I heard from a couple of these guys, then that would bring the shells and the rocks and everything up top. And then that's where the oysters and crabs and everything could benefit from it. Is that a possibility or what?
I mean, I can't speak to the efficacy of that for what Mr. Hollowell was speaking to. Let's see if I could find, you know, as far as the surveys that have been done, a lot of that area, according to what was categorized by that VIM study as bottom type, a lot of that area wasn't considered mud bottom. It fell into a much higher percentage of sand and hard bottom.
What I'm saying, though, is could we benefit from opening areas that are mud, that we know that are mud and silt, and see if that works, what they're talking about, if they take and turn up the bottoms, and because they're not productive at all now, I understand, because there's too much silt there. But if they turn up the bottom, maybe could that help?
You know, I can't speak specifically to the areas Mr. Hollowell was talking about, and otherwise it sounds, you know, that sounds more toilets and an experimental question.
Any other questions from the commission?
I have comments, and it may lead to asking advice from staff.
Mr. Neal.
From a personal standpoint, you know, having the winter dredge fishery open would make it a lot easier for me to get tautog bait. You know, so it's been a pain since this stuff's been closed to get fish bait. I actually have agreed and still agree with many of the arguments that the dredgers have made. Some of the photos Ty showed us last spring with the female crab losing their legs in his crab pots were very persuasive. Just by my inclination, my education, my vocation, I'm a man of science. That's what I rely on. I'm not treating patients, and I'm not here. I'm out in the water doing something with them. I'm aiding in some study. And so when you start quoting studies, that gets my attention. My problem I have with it is I was here when Dr. Lipschitz presented his study, and it was a very thorough study. And the conclusions I remember were soft bottom's better than hard bottom as far as reduced bikill. Not having divers was better than having divers. The closer you got to the mouth of the bay, the more bycatch you had, and particularly with horseshoe crabs, which was a concern for us because we get to deal with that tomorrow. But nowhere in that study, in his presentation, do I remember him ever saying that this was a sustainable fishery or a recommendation that this was the things I've been saying, that I've been hearing being said, the science says, because that's not what was presented. Unless I just missed something. That's why I should put it up there. Because and that wasn't the only science we were given. And this goes to what you were saying. We had another scientist, and I believe it's his wife. I don't remember her name. But another benthic specialist at BIMS. And she basically did a literature review because we've heard this turning over the bottom is good and from watermen. And where the science has been done, and there has been science done on this, 100% of the studies showed it was harmful to the benthic environment. And that was what was presented to this commission. And so that's what the science said. All right. So you know, that's where I'm coming from. And as far as I know, these what we asked VMRC to do with the other jurisdictions were to come up with the best available science as far as opening the dredge fishery. And right now the specialists are telling me no. Am I missing something, I guess, is what I'm asking you, staff. Am I misquoting the science?
Well, I mean, you're absolutely correct that the study did not look at, and there were no conclusions made on whether or not this had anything to do with sustainability of the fishery. It was simply to look at, incidental mortality and discard mortality, and that's what the conclusions were based on. And as you said, the triggers that were created by staff and approved by CVSAC are going towards what may be a sustainable harvest and in this case allowing the commission to consider opening the fishery.
Yeah. I guess my point is the science is telling me, well, the managers are telling me not to open this dredge fishery now, but I do want to reiterate some of the things they've been talking about, doing something with the pots, doing something with other mortality are things that the long-term view, we always deal with, like I said, the short-term. But some of these long-term issues they brought up, I think, are very legitimate. But I'm going to go with the science is what I'm going with.
Hey, Mr. Neal here, it kind of jumps in with something that somebody said earlier here. I guess I want to put my view on it. I don't think this fishery is flatlined. I think that this fishery has been on a roller coaster. And if you'll back up.
Yes. So we have the total abundance.
And look on the left side here. You see total abundance. Pretty low, going for a decade and a half. And we hit a terrible place in 2007 and 2008. And we took management measures. The commission took management measures. And they were, I would say, universally despised at the time. But the abundance level increased. It increased some more. It increased a lot. It increased to 2012, and look at where we're at there. And we had two bad years, and right now we bounced back a little bit. So to me, this isn't a fishery that's flatlined. This is a fishery that's a roller coaster. Managing a roller coaster is a very difficult thing. I would very much like to see some stability in this fishery. But I look at this, and I say, right now, with overall abundance of 411 million, it's just about the same place we were back in 2009. Been up and it's been down. but we're back to where we were in 2009 with a couple of critical changes to it. Worse from my perspective is here we are now, we're at a much lower spawning age female rate. That's how we bounce this fisheries abundance levels back. On the other hand, we got more juveniles than we did back in 2008 and 2009. So I look at this and I say, we're right now pretty much where we were in 2009 when the federal government declared this a fishery disaster. I'm heartened by the fact that despite the terrible winter last year, we still had pretty significant gains. But that said, we had really pretty much hit rock bottom last year. So a step in the right direction, even though we had a terrible winter, kind of makes me think that with the large juvenile class that we're looking at this year, that there's some hope for next year. I don't think this is the year we reopen the dredge fishery. I think the abundance level right now is not conducive to doing this. We were very nice and polite and not say anything when you all had your way and you wanted to say stuff. So please, have some respect. So that was one of the main issues that I have and that I'm looking at right now. The other thing that strikes me is something that's good to keep in mind is that this fishery is spawning age females. A lot of them have never spawned. I have a hard time thinking that we can rebuild this stock to get us to where we need if we're removing spawning potential in the dead of winter. That's my thinking on this. Mr. France.
Yeah, and I'm kind of a little bit of an agreement. You know, if we're getting close and we almost hit those triggers, you know, if we were to open dredging up right when we're getting close and all of a sudden take one step backwards, we may never get it open if it turns out bad. You know, we need that biomass to be built up enough so we can sustain it, I think. And I think we need to get closer to that before we can consider opening it up. And that would be my opinion.
Mr. Ballard. I'm not the most educated on the crab fishery, but when we talk about sustainability, I think we need to look at it from a 360-degree perspective and biomass. And it seems to me like the proposal CMAQ had on the table was an exchange of biomass. And maybe there's some upside and downside, but it didn't seem like we were going to be impacting the population. We're trading 25,000 bushels for 25,000 bushels. I am sensitive to some of the points that originally I think the dredge fishery was closed in part due to some of these mortality issues, which have largely we've come up with workarounds for, to where the mortality isn't as big of an issue. I think it's just something to keep in mind that if we are trading bushel for bushel, are we really affecting the population that much? With maybe an exception that we're targeting females on the dredge fishery, is that correct?
Well, I mean, since this was a conservation equivalency measure, the bushel limits were, I think, you know, designed with that in mind. You know, but I think a bigger issue is, as I was saying, that spawning potential. So, you know, we're managing now for kind of a wraparound season where what we're trying to do is protect that spawning potential into the spring of each year. So, you know, what we were seeing is an overall trade-off from the annual harvest levels. But, you know, and that's where staff is coming from here is to protect these, both the juvenile and the spawning age females into the spring. So.
Mr. Wunder. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Tanker.
Sure. I was here in 08, and I, you know, one of the slides that I remember the Lipschitz put up was that one of where we could see the dredge, how efficient they were. And it is an efficient tool. It's been around for a long time. But the problem with it is it was going after the females, and the females are the ones that spawn in spring. And it can just take them all.
I mean, that was what he showed very clearly in his slides. So that was very impactful for us. It seemed to be a no-brainer. We need to have more crabs. They're only going to come from females. If we don't harvest females, the fishery's going to be better off. Just very simple for us at that time. I felt like, I didn't feel like we were trying to discriminate against a particular gear type, but it seemed pretty obvious, more females, more abundance. And I think what we've seen in the last couple of years, I mean, I think what we did worked, and in 2009, you see things, the fishery in number came up. But unfortunately, these last 2 years have been extremely cold, and we've had a lot of mortality. So we've had setbacks. And I can see, like Mr. Smith said, I can see the dredge fishery coming back, but I don't see it opening this year, in my opinion. I mean, but because I just don't think we have the numbers there. We need to have, as you mentioned, the biomass before we can allow this fishery to come back, because I don't think we can take the chance of having a cold spell or 2 years more of cold winters and more mortality and have a fishery that just gets hammered into oblivion at the levels we are today. So I'm looking at it in a very simplistic fashion, and maybe that's too simplistic.
Ms. Haney.
Question. The same females that they're dredging or would be dredging, would they be caught in the springtime before they spawn, those same crabs?
Yes, yeah. Well, that is in part why, you know, one of the options, or the bushel limit options are directed at both the spring and fall harvest.
So either way, those females are being caught.
They can be, yes. You know, we did see that in 2012 prior to the bushel limits that are in place, you know, but the bushel limits that are in place are.
It just seems like it makes economic sense to catch them in the wintertime. You're going to lose those crabs either way. I mean, they're going to be caught either way, and there's more of economic value in the wintertime versus the spring.
So,
Mr. Cagle.
So my reply to that is, yeah, they can be caught either way. You go to Cape Charles, you'll see them coming in like crazy. But at the same time, a lot of them got away. The gear type of the dredge fishery, they're going to get all female, all in the wintertime. And those crabs aren't going to have any chance to spawn. So I'd rather see them have a chance to spawn. You know, it's kind of a luck of the draw with the crab pot. The dredge fishery's not so much. It's all female. Gone.
Mr. Frantz.
Yes, and I would say if you catch 1 million pounds of females in the winter, spring comes and you cut that back and you say you can't catch 1 million pounds of females in the spring, then do we see a large increase in the targeting of males, which have really been down?
Mr. Zeker.
Why don't we keep in the regular season, why don't we, if you're targeting, if you want to keep more females to produce more of a stock, why don't you just pass a regulation that you can't keep females at all?
Well, because it would cripple Virginia's fishery. just, you know, based on the biology of this species, you know, we typically harvest 60 to 75% of Virginia's total harvest is female crabs, and I'd say probably on average about 70%.
It's just the biology, John.
And it's, you know, it's a rather short-lived species that they call it interannual variability, or just the fluctuations from year to year can be, you know, quite intense, because it's that pulse recruitment that is so important to the overall abundance of this population, and that's really where staff keeps coming from, you know, is to managing that wraparound so that there are enough individuals out there in the spring to produce a new juvenile class, you know, that will keep this as a sustainable fishery.
Any other discussion?
I find myself in the same point I was back in 2008, and the same kind of thing. I listened to Ken Smith and the other watermen talk and come up with suggestions, and some of them I think are very good. to manage the overall species, you know, thinking things different, and maybe shallow water sanctuaries, he mentioned that, individual ITQs, he's mentioned that. And, you know, some of these things, if they were in, we're still piecemealing it. So if I'm just given this decision to open this crab dredger fishery without doing anything else, you know, without, then the science still tells me no this year. But I know it's a time thing, and staff is understaffed, and you know, CMAQ you only meet but so often. But I really would like some of these other things to be explored more thoroughly. The ways of managing this crab fishery.
Mr. Marner.
You know, I've heard about the roller coaster. I've heard about the science. I've also heard about a setback. And I think it's our job to do what's right. So I'd like to make a motion, if that's okay with you all, that we go with staff recommendation for the prohibition of crab dredging from December 1st, 2015 through March 31st of 2016.
Motion by Mr. Mark. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Would you like some discussion on the matter?
Yep, discussed it. I'd like a lot of discussion on the matter is what I'd like. But I can't do it tonight. But that's what I said back in 2008, too. So we can't do it tonight.
Yeah, 2008 was even a longer night for the commission. I was there. All right, so we have a motion and a second to accept staff recommendation to continue the closure of the winter dredge fishery. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
No? Any abstentions? The chair votes aye as well. So the motion passes 7-1. And Ms. Haney was the negative vote. Thank you all for a civil discussion, and I appreciate everybody's input.